All right, you clicked the title. You already know what this is going to be about. Before I get into it, if y'all can do me a favor and just subscribe, leave a thumbs up, and continue help growing the channel. Yeah, this Fox Sports scandal is pretty... Woohoo! Ooh. Let's just say... Joy was having something to speak for herself, all right. It was speaking loudly. And, oh, Emmanuel, all those very passionate hot takes. We see what the motivation was. I'm pretty sure if they were to look back, all the shows that Emmanuel Acho was next to Joy Taylor, he probably had a little extra, you know, juice in his takes that day. but on a serious note, so the whole as a combination of multiple people, of a hairstylist that work at FS1, and about basically stuff in the workplace she knows was taking place, and the reason why it's important because a lot of decisions were based upon that. You know, the least relevant parts are, it doesn't really matter that Joy and Emmanuel had a relationship, except for the fact that if it parlayed into her getting a show because she was sleeping with the person that is in charge of the content for their department and is dictating the daily content and direction of their area, it's very influential. And when you're sleeping with both, yeah, it's kind of dirty business, you know. And then you got the Skip Bayless apparently alleging, this dude, I will change your life. $1.5 million. It's like, if you're paying someone $1.5 million, it seems like they're changing your life, you know. That man, oh, he's got some conversations to have with the wife. Whether this is all true or not, they are definitely being, everyone involved in this lawsuit is definitely being advised by FS1. Stop tweeting about anything. You're not on company time. While I'm eager to see today being January 6th, recording this about 1 p.m., I wonder, I don't really watch Speak or really sports shows like that anymore like I used to, but I am curious to see if they're going to have them on the air today. Obviously, Skip doesn't, but, you know, like Joy and Emmanuel, they're going to be on TV today. I think that will speak volumes in terms of severity, how real this lawsuit is, how much merit it holds. Because what this lawsuit, you know, people are going to get caught up in the fascination and people are going to focus on Joy for essentially, quote unquote, sleeping her way up when you look at her history and how she got where she were. Really, it's like, it's not, that part's not really that important to me personally. What it does speak to, I think, on a bigger issue and what this is going to really expound in the bigger sentimental issue with this is that the dynamics of a workplace, having checks and balances matter. And I think a lot of, you know, people always talk about, and this is going to be very unpopular, and it may be misconstrued when I say this, people always look at the person who has the perceived power of using their power to get sex or to get what they want because they're in control of hiring. They're in control of who gets to be hosts in this instances. But even if you just go to any workplace environment, who do we want in positions, even though there's plenty of people that are just as qualified, if not more qualified. But we're going to put these people in these positions. When you have that type of power and control, sometimes a person that is deemed to be unqualifiable, and what a lot of people say about her, to get these positions at the rate that she did, that wouldn't be standard. And what's kind of alleged here is that she knowingly, because she, you know, slept with this Charles Dixon guy, who's basically the head of content for the sports, FS1. she slept with this guy and said to the hairstylist, when the stylist like, hey, I don't think you should be sleeping with both him and Emmanuel. She said, well, if they say anything, if he says anything, I'll just kind of use the Me Too movement type of thing. I will basically kind of start using the discrimination or the feeling pressured in a workplace type of thing. When it's obvious, they really seem that pressure. Seemed very voluntarily for someone who's very outspoken about having power and in control of her life and career, which is fine. Except it didn't really feel, it feels like more you were at mercy of people. You know, you had to open up a few different portals to get what you wanted, and that's fine. I'm not here to shit on that. But what people don't realize is actually what it does in a weird way. The person who's in a weakened position when these things occur is actually the higher up. This dude Charles Dixon's going to lose his fucking job and has a lot of lawsuits coming his way about this shit. Because when you have more to lose than someone else and you have the perceived power, you can't really play victim in a way. And you can't really use the abuse of power thing because you're the person in power. But once you get some poom-poom, you know, all the power is gone. Because your lack of discipline got you in this situation. And I want to relay this to kind of a bigger issue we have. Like, this is going to be a microcosm about people are going to focus on her sleeping her way to the top about, you know, people who have this delusion, they get in these big paying jobs, are on TV, they feel in themselves. What you really notice about what this situation exposed me was really just more of what I have confirmed throughout my working career in jobs. And that's every single place this shit is happening. That is the uncomfortable truth of 2025. And this is going to be very uncomfortable for people with spouses, people with boyfriends and girlfriends. It may not be your partner that is doing certain things, but you can bet this. In whatever place they work at, this shit is happening. So, you know, now they may not be offering $1.5 million or being offered $1.5 million, because let's be honest, for 99% of us, if someone's offering us $1.5 million, we're considering a few things. You know, partially joking, but I think there's an uncomfortable reality with that stuff. This stuff is happening at every single workplace, and I can confirm based off my most recent job was the most flagrant. Because there are certain environments where, especially people that have any type of positions of power over, you know, people, where the people that they're in charge of or they're managed of, basically, whoever the boss is of a group of individuals. Those group of individuals that make their daily life, that make their goals at that place. Literally, you could kind of abuse your power and hold the key to their hands and fire them. You can make their daily working life a living hell. Like, you are kind of in charge of that. You are responsible for this person's career path or their enjoyment of working at a job. And sometimes when they know things about you or you participate in activities with individuals that you shouldn't in a private manner, like HR potential issues, you get situations like this where once someone knows that you are compromised, all that perceived power you have, goes out the window. So you start, if you want to keep your job and not have things be exposed to light, accommodating, whether that's sending some girls money, I'm not going to say what that's about, or you accommodate things and you start giving preferential treatment that everyone around you knows about. Like, you start giving certain people to leave work early, or they can show up late, nothing happens. Or, You know what? I can find ways to give you more time off compared to others where technically I'm not really allowed. Like, you could find ways to make, to accommodate. And the thing is, all your other employees see it. And in this work environment, FS1, everyone probably knew about this shit. People are going to focus on the hypersexual aspect of it, but that's really almost just like whatever part. It's because we are still at a point in time where, and it will be till the day of the end of civilization, sex will make men do stupid shit and not care about it. Sex can really be the downfall of most people. The lack of discipline, the situations men and women get themselves in because they know it works. And, you know, I'll just say, like, I'll say at a previous job that I worked at in the past 10 years, so I could cover my bases here, there was an instance where, I'll say this, two different jobs I worked at were this crazy, hypersexualized work environment that I did not participate in. Because I was a faithful man, you know. And honestly, being in those environments really turned me off to a lot of shit. One, because my first job, I saw a married woman who was about 24, fully committed marriage, guy treated her well, all that good stuff. And she was getting, for YouTube censoring purposes, I would just say she would disappear for an hour during the shift, during the busiest part of a shift. And she was getting the work by a dumpster. And I am not exaggerating. Getting the work, sucking some work, getting more work. She wasn't doing the actual work she was getting paid for. You know, she's getting the work. And her husband found out, came up there, and like almost threatened to fucking beat the shit out of her. Like, this is no joke. So that's one thing of, you know, you're opening a can of worms, but you see that environment where it's like, this is my very first job. Like, I'm 18 at the time. And like, you're kind of aware, but you're not really aware of how like adult relationships work. And then you kind of see this and you're like, damn, people are just, people are just crazy out here, you know? You know, when you come from a structured home with two parents that, you know, whatever. That's pretty normal. Then you go out in the road or you go to a job and girls are sucking dicks by the dumpsters. You know, it's like, bitch, we got a full line here, you know? having this new hire 19-year-old girl just cashing these people out, taking their orders. You're over there making all the food yourself and you're like, all right, well, this is the introduction to the workforce. See, part of the introduction to the workforce is not just about the work. It's literally about you actually have to learn to deal with different types of things you see in a work environment that are 50-50 on whether you should speak about it or not. Like, there's certain things it's not your business, right? Like, it is not my business when I work somewhere and I see someone who has a boyfriend or a girlfriend or has a husband and a, or wife, and they are inappropriately doing things with people I work at. Everyone knows about it. And it's more common than not. All right. Is that my, as a, whether it's a coworker or a, you know, just a person that works in that building, is it my business to tell? Not particularly, except if it potentially is affecting people getting certain treatments, certain people getting positions or certain people getting firing so we can replace them with someone, or, you know, certain favoritism that's being placed because they know a thing that knows a thing. And the craziest part is you realize the depths that upper management that know about the shit, what they do, they're not necessarily cover it up, but to try to address it in real time and try to finagle and move things around to get to the bottom of it and kind of mask things. Because, like, this stuff is 4 or 5 years old with this FS1 shit. Like, some of this stuff is from 4 or 5 years ago that has developed and consistently still happening over time. And the results of instances that happened years ago is still in effect today. It's not like something that happened years ago and everything completely stopped separate ways and then this guy exposed. Like, it is still in the process of the benefits of those things happening that cost people positions. If you know anything about people that were in that network, people don't know about, like, the origin of Speak for Yourself. The original two people were Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock, right? Colin Cowherd left just to focus on his radio show because he kind of was like one of the builders of FS1. Him and Skip were kind of like the pipeline of, like, we are coming with our names and our brands and we're going to help build this up. And they did. He left the show. Marcellus Wiley took over. Became Marcellus and Jason. Then Jason had his own issues with FS1 and stuff. And he's speaking about it a little bit about today. He's not too shocked about a lot of this stuff. Marcellus, same way. And then Emmanuel Acho came in. And it was like, oh, this is something new. Like, they had a nice dynamic. It was like, wow, this is him. Like, Marcellus and Acho, that was a dynamic duo. You can see over time, though, like a seasoned vet that wanted to be about the team, Marcellus, and you see Emmanuel being younger, out to get it, really was trying to make it his show, right? And when you see, like, okay, he's becoming the star of the show, cool, that's fine. Then now, all of a sudden, it's, all right, they get rid of Marcellus Wiley, he gets let go, or contract runs up, whatever he is. And he goes and does, he's been doing his own thing, and he's doing really well. And that show basically became Emmanuel Acho and whoever wants to fill in who he wants to talk to that day. And when you really looked at, he really put people across from him, or people on his table that he really didn't feel like could keep up with him intellectually take by take, so he could stand out even more. Because Marcellus was intelligent, in-depth enough experience where he could actually keep toe-to-toe and go deeper into issues than a lot of people they put on today who are just very surface. And because Emmanuel has that word salad thing where he speaks fast and, like, he's very, which he is, like, he's very smart. But he speaks with that pace and talk that, like, I know what I'm talking about. Even if you're like, eh, okay. And now, created his own show, and now, it's a different version, where Joy Taylor is a co-host with it. So it's a whole different weird thing we got going on here. That timeline, and the timeline of the lawsuit, it definitely looks like some people were made to be sacrificial lambs so certain people can get the limelight and get positions. And it doesn't look, when the person who's in charge of that is the person she slept with and talent that they got rid of in the process, were sacrificial lambs because of it. So that's one way. That's where it becomes an issue. Now, going back to a real-world example of my experience. I have seen where, I'll just say I was a manager at a place, right? I was a manager at a place. And I had peers who, you're not allowed to, but it's also not really a secret, that were having inappropriate relations with women they were in charge of. We'll just say that. Because you know what? It's predominantly male-based, so we'll just say. They were having inappropriate relations with women. Some of them were married. Some of them were not. And the thing is, in a workplace, depending on the environment too, who has a boyfriend and girlfriend is really irrelevant. It really does not matter. Because a lot of people feel like in workplaces, you both are protecting each other. Because you both are at risk of losing something. That's the feeling. That also probably gives them a little bit of a rush too. If they're being honest. I know a crazy situation where someone, where four, I may be getting a little bit too much here. We'll just say a group of people that aren't even directly connected, but by diverse fault of one person sleeping with one person, after one person ate out another person, and by default, two people did something with this one person, now they all four got an STD. Let's just say that. I don't give a shit. I'm playing with house money here. Yeah, man. And that's the type of reckless nature that goes on. This is modern day work environment. It is what it is. You can go to any place. If it has more than 15 employees, if it has 3 of one gender, 12 of the other, someone almost got pregnant last night. It is what it is. All right. You know, it is what it is. We can pretend it doesn't exist, but it does. It's not to rationalize it by any means. But I'm saying firsthand, like, my experience, like, these stories become less and less surprising or fascinating because it's really just a microcosm that does not matter how much money you could lose. It doesn't matter how much is on the table of your public image. It does not matter if you're married. People do not care. That is not what drives people to do these things. It's not about how much money you don't have. It's not about your position. It's not about what you, like, it is just because people can. And this story is a great example of, yeah, look, there's going to be lawsuits because of positions of power and potentially people that lost their jobs in result of knowing this stuff. And they fire them in favoritism of other people keeping their jobs. So, yeah, this is a legitimate lawsuit. And there's probably going to be more shit coming out. It's going to be more damning. And you know what the craziest part about all of this is? When the dust settles and people finally start, there's going to be somehow, especially Joy, where she's going to come out and talk about how, oh, people are always attacking strong women and stuff like that. It's like, you being a strong woman has nothing to do with the fact that you slept with someone, you slept with people in positions of power in your own workplace, put on this facade about how you had to work twice as hard to get half the results when, you know, if anything, it might be quite the opposite. But I'm not going to sit and discredit someone's work ethic because, look, it takes a lot to prepare for those shows. It's not easy to be a host or a moderator, regardless of what people think. It's not easy. But when you're putting out this facade like, oh, it's so much harder to be a woman doing this stuff, in most legitimate cases, yes. But when people get this stuff exposed and you're like, you got a lot of perks, no pun intended, you got a lot of perks because of certain things you were willing to do that others weren't. And you know, that's half the battle. You were brave enough to put it out there. But you know, there's going to be this whole like, woe is me. People are attacking me. This shit happens all the time. You see how they're not like treating the guys different compared to, it's like, yes. Because you know what? You are absolutely right. There are not a lot of women in a high positions of power, which means as guys, there's not many vaginas to get into to move up. You know, the only way we move up is if we bend over and then our whole lives are ruined. You know, you don't want to get didymatized out here. You know, it's like for you, you know, it's like, as long as it's consensual and, you know, well within the bounds of what you're trying to do, it's just another dick inside of you, you know? You just chalk it off as a tax write-off, you know? Say it was for business purposes. it happened at work, right? It was a business expense. But no, in all seriousness, work environments are sleazy as hell. there's so many things you find out way later when you work somewhere long enough that you're not surprised by, but you're like, damn, I just can't believe people would do this shit. Like, a lot of people are desperate out here. And a lot of people are desperate for just attention, gratification, and desire. Like, going back to my first job experience, like, this is where I saw, like, oh. Because, dude, like, I worked with guys that were married. Now, granted, it was a very low-paying, low-income job. So, if there's a really older guy there, they're really around a lot of younger people. Younger people, like 18, 19, 20, as I was at the time. You know, it's a lot of like, we're relying on you, this older individual, to guide us in how to be professional, how to have a good, you know, how to properly do this job, how to understand the approach it takes to be successful coming to work every day, regardless of whatever your views are on like fast food jobs. They are a good breakaway for younger people getting into the workforce. Understand it. If you get into around a good boss that cares enough, that it helps you understand like what it takes to have a consistent approach, showing up on time, stuff like that. And when you're around people like that and you see like, oh, there are grown adults that don't have the same approach. It's like, I worked in places where I was a young person and I worked twice as hard with less complaining. Like, I'm supposed to be the entitled one. I'm supposed to be the one rolling my eyes saying, oh, I don't feel like. I mean, I'm around grown people that feel entitled that they don't have to do anything. It's like, what are you talking about? I've noticed everywhere I worked at, I've always been, and this is me being humble about it, one of the hardest working people, one of the people that stand out, one of the people that always get asked to move up the ranks and all that stuff. And most time, I have no desire to, except recently when I did. And it was pretty good, sometimes not so good experience. But, you know, one thing I told myself is when I ever do take those slightly higher positions in the low, you know, the entering position, whatever that job is, anytime I take in a manager type position, one thing I've always been profound on is being a professional but still being approachable and not taking myself too serious, like around certain people, you know, keeping the environment loose. But one thing I do, one thing I will say, like one of the biggest things I'm proud of is my previous job at my position, I was never inappropriate. Like, I was all about the job at hand first. I did not need anything from anyone. I helped my people more than they ever need to help me. They knew if they needed some, I had an answer. I didn't say, hey, well, you do this and I do this for you. That's how, like, no. I was being selfless. But when you get in these other places, a lot of these positions are, you know, yeah, I'll get you an interview if, you know, you know. And it doesn't have to be anything sexual or anything, like, grotesque in nature. It's like, I'll get an interview for you if you come in and do this extra shift for me this weekend. It's like, bro, I've worked here for 8 months, and I've showed up to work every day. I work more hours than anyone else. Why the fuck do you need me coming this next upcoming weekend to prove to you that I deserve an interview for something? Either give me the fucking interview or fuck off, you know? That's the thing. It's like everything's got to have like, oh, you got to get this immediate thing done for me so I could do this thing for you. Everything comes with an exchange of something. And when you get to these certain places, that stuff comes with you. It's like, oh, I'll get you a position. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it. And sex appeal is a real thing. Being attractive, having tits, having a nice body as a guy, having big quads. imagine thinking like, bro, like, you know, someone comes, you know, what's a physique that, you know, will just make people look at me and just be like, wow, man, I wish I had your body. I'd be like, squats. Dude, just build the quads and your glutes. You're all glute to go. Everything else, who gives a shit? Who needs shoulders? Who needs broad shoulders when you got quads? but shit, what was I talking about? But no, having a sex appeal to you, regardless of whatever the job is, it does wonders for you. You may not realize it, but it does. And anyone that says, no, it does not, like, no, you know why you don't think sex appeal does something for you? Because you've never been ugly, all right? you've never not had tits. And that is a real thing. It's always like people speak like, you know what? It's not about the body. It's my work. It's like, but see, you're saying that from a position of someone who's never had, for someone who's never not had tits, you know? You've been double D since 13, all right? It has worked out for you. That's a weird comment to say out loud. Now I say it out loud. I'm not looking at 13-year-old's breast sizes. I'm not like a Gideon EDP watch. those things are crazy, bro. It is crazy. Like, the stuff you see online, and it's real. It just goes to how out of whack this world is. Like, literally watching... Like, if you're... Like, I'm not trying to give, like, some pedophiles advice here, or some predators advice. But, like... You guys get caught the same way every fucking time. You guys actually show up to these decoys' houses. And you're like, it won't be me. Like, what 14-year-old boy or girl is inviting your 35-year-old dusty ass to their Airbnb in the middle of fucking Illinois? Like, it's not like you're in Miami. Not like you're in, like, one of these big cities where people get Airbnb all. Who the fuck is going to Illinois in some middle-of-nowhere place getting an Airbnb just to chill for the weekend? What 14-year-old can afford an Airbnb? Have you seen the prices? Airbnbs aren't cheap, especially with the fees. But, yeah, it's crazy, man. You predators are stupid. I would be a great predator hunter. That sounded crazy. But, like, I would be a great, like, Chris Hansen sting operator type of... Like, I would, like, the things I would say when these people walk out, like, did you really, like, I would be coming out after 5 minutes of them thinking they're about to get with some 28-year-old who they think's 14. Like, so you really thought that this girl was going to give you some poom-poom today? Well, I have some news to break for you. The only poom-poom you're getting is from the po-po. so, yeah. It's people are just so stupid and naive. And it just goes to show, man, like, lack of, like, discipline. Like, lack of, like, discipline. Like, discipline of your dick is what's going to keep you out of the most trouble. Honestly. Whether that's your personal life, your work life. Because here's the thing. What this story exposes is chances are if someone has been at a place for quite a while, you work there too. Even if you just start working there and they show interest in you, I just want you to know, you're probably the fourth or fifth person they've been with at that one place. And I'm saying that from things I have seen. I have seen, and I'm not ratting no one out. I have seen someone. I've seen a grown woman that I didn't work directly with, but we would pass by. I know someone she slept with that was a peer of mine. And then 2 weeks later, he found out that just 2 weeks prior to that, when they hooked up, she slept with someone in her own department. And then apparently found out, like, some person who worked in the complete opposite side of the building was her boyfriend for a year and a half. And they broke up a month ago before she slept with the guy in her own department. That's how fast things go, right? And that's how messy these things get. I would just advise to the young ones out there, it's okay to meet the love of your life or to meet a person, a special person, even if it's not something that's going to last forever. It's okay to meet someone and that you work with. That's how most people meet these days. Because you know what? 80% of your life, you got to be at these places just to survive out here. It's the reality of it. But I will recommend, even if you were just a casual thing or whatever, I would recommend put a cap on it. Like, one of y'all's got to leave that job in a couple months. Because, you know, it's never too die-hard, full-fledged employees. There's always someone that's already, like, one foot out the door that's a part-time or, like, you know, I got a second job. You know, whatever. It's always best. If you're going to have that personal time, it's okay to meet that way. But you don't continue working together. Nothing good ever comes out of it. But nah, man, like, this Fox Sports thing, it's messy, and it's only going to get worse. And it really is just a microcosm of how it's been since the beginning of time. We could rationalize anything if it means status. We can, 1.5 million for some poon is crazy, Skip. I gotta say, man. I know you're getting up there in age, so maybe your dating options, even if you and Ernestine do have an open situation, you know? That's so crazy, man. I'm sorry. That's crazy. If I had to say one, that's the one I'm kind of hesitant to believe to that extent. Like, I do believe that he probably tried to get with her in some way. I don't think it was, hey, here's 1.5 million to sleep with me. I don't think that is how that would go personally. But, like, the money is more, I guess, to be quiet about it. It is not, like, an exchange of 1.5 for you to sleep with me and shut up about it. That's probably more what it's like than just, like, hey, here's 1.5 for one night or something. Like, that's pretty insane. like, I'm sure she's a beautiful woman. But, Skip, you have money. You don't need to actually spend money when you have money. So, yeah, just a horn dog out here. God, this whole pod has just been about inappropriate workplace, you know? I gotta say, man, if there's a job I should be looking for right now, it's being HR. Because every place fucking needs it, you know? And we HR gets a bad rap for a lot of things, deservingly so sometimes. But they are needed. Because believe it or not, I mean, most places, they ain't doing shit anyways, even when they know about this stuff. Or it's really like, you know, guys, can we just, like, try not to get certain people's phone numbers? It's okay. You don't have to fuck everybody. You typically also notice, like, after you leave a job, like, how dirty and nasty everyone is. Because you start hearing shit. Woo, that shit's crazy. But, yeah, no, if there's one that, I know you gotta have a degree in HR. I don't know what kind of degree do you need to go around and be like, hey guys, can you do me a favor? Can you not send dick pics to every semi-attractive girl that works for you? Can you just not? Or hey, can you not, like, say that I'm gonna smack you across the face if you don't get the slide up, you know? can you just not? There's certain things, like, it's crazy that we have to have HR to remind us, like, hey, can you, not, you know, can you not spread your STD around? I don't know. I mean, that's actually probably a crime if it's unknown. Dude, it's, goddamn, that story's crazy. Sorry, I can't go too in detail about it. I don't want to be, you know, leaking stories here. but she was leaking, and that's how he got the tweaking. Oh, Drake, can your... Drake dropped a Notre Dame or Irish freestyle, right? But he didn't actually drop a song. It was quote-unquote leaked. And it's literally like a raw version of like if someone recording someone with a cell phone rapping. And it got leaked or something. And I will say, I'll give Drake this. You know, basically, the way he raps, like, in the produced, like, his freestyle, like, his pure bars raps, it sounds like when he recorded it, he did it, like, in one full take. And it was on beat, on measure for, well, you know, Drake's beats and measures, you know. But it sounded exact. It wasn't like some set four lines, we're going to piece it together. Like, that dude, he was boom, boom, boom. And that just goes to show, like, you know what? This is how, like, it actually, like, you can sound, you know, like the actual produced version. It doesn't have to be broken apart and be put in piece together. But no, that, I mean, yeah, the rap was kind of like, eh, you know? It was like, I forgot most of the bars, but it was definitely like, you know, they're trying to put me off my mark and trying to tear me down. It's like, Drake, you kind of did it to yourself this time. I love you, man, but you kind of did it to yourself. But yeah, well, I think I'll wrap it up here. I know I kind of went all over the place. I didn't really talk about the FS1 thing to the extent because I try to relate it to things, but yeah, look, just don't be naive. This stuff is pretty normal now. People are sleeping with their superiors that affect their daily, not even life, but that affect their daily work life, you know, and their potential aspirations. And it's not like, to me, I am more comfortable. Like, I'll be honest. If I was a peer of someone, I would be more comfortable if a peer of mine was sleeping with, like, the top of the food chain of the whole company or the building. Someone who's just, like, mainly in the office, but they're doing more handshake deals. They're doing more of just, like, you know, the top of the top work. They're not really out there, you know, in the field, or they're not really out there, like, doing the thing, the day-by-day operation, where the person that's, like, legitimately out there coordinating, putting, doing the programming, making sure who we have, you know, in charge of who's doing the show today, you know, what type of direction do we need to go in these shows, you know? The person who's actually out there, day in and day out, in charge of, like, making changes, that's more troublesome than someone sleeping with the top of the top, to be honest. Like, to me, because this person, it's not just about the bench, but someone's getting compromised in that process. And what's going to be exposed here is who was that affect negatively. Because I think the ironic message is when people say they have to work twice as much to get half the results. But really, it turned out that everyone else had to work three times as much for a quarter of the results, because you got so much extra preferential treatment. And some people lost their jobs because you were basically able to blackmail someone, even not directly, but you basically admitted to this girl, if it's true, that, oh, well, you know, I'm not worried because, you know, they fired me. I'm just going to expose them all. And then kind of use that victim card type of thing. So, look, man, there's some nasty ass people out here. And every job, every work environment with more than six people, people are doing things together. It does not matter if they're married. It does not matter if they're boyfriend or girlfriend. It doesn't mean every person is doing it, but a lot more than you think. And it's probably the ones that you think are like these holier than thou. Like, man, you know, this person's just a down-to-earth. he would never, you know, they would never, he or she, they would never do it, and they're the dirtiest motherfuckers, I gotta tell you. I'm saying because I worked in an environment, two environments specifically, where that shit was, I mean, bro, I saw people lose their marriages to sleep with someone, to sleep with someone or a bunch of people in the workplace. That's where it gets nasty. You doing one thing with one person, hey. But when you are doing multiple things with cousins, when you're doing multiple things with multiple people in a workplace that is designed for your direction and respect, and those people know that about you and compromise you, there's very little you can do without your job being in jeopardy. And so whatever your position is completely is irrelevant because you have no say or power at that point. So yeah, that was episode 317 of the Off the Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, have a great day, morning, night, evening. Have a good one. And keep your dick in your pants.